Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour of VFN Radio. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you want to catch it. Empathy, such an important thing. We always want to receive it, but we got to learn how to give it. You know, whatever we sow, we reap. And you know, think about that. Empathy. I mean, it's what God has done in the context of empathize with me.
Feel your pain.
I feel your pain.
Oh, I mean, it's so important, man. It's so needed.
I know people that became president because they were able to go, I feel your pain.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. That was one of his things was,
I feel your pain. I know what you're going through.
Just like him. Jeez.
I know what you're going through right there. And
I'm serious. And people go like, he feels my pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether he felt it or not, he said he felt it.
So that's right.
He became the president of the United States.
Yeah, it's so important, man, because it's so easy to get caught up in what's going on in your own life, and you don't take the time to pause and just really understand and get yourself out of your own situation to really think about how other people are interpreting, what's their perception. You know, perception is reality, but yet and still, it's their reality.
Your perception is your reality.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's what people are experiencing and facing and seeing. And what brings me great hope and comfort is to know that Jesus can totally, absolutely empathizes with, you know, with me and my life and whatever's happened. We can be like the Lord when we take time just to empathize with other people. But you got to get yourself off your mind. You really got to care about people. You got to stop your own agenda.
Empathizing with yourself, right?
Say it again?
You got to stop empathizing with
yourself. Yeah, with yourself, yeah. Right. I'm going to stop empathizing with myself, and I'm going to empathize with you.
I feel my pain.
Right. Well, it's everywhere, but
when you think about it, you know, when you look at the wisdom of Solomon, and we're just continuing on empathy to grab it, because we have Jesus who's able to empathize with us. He walked in our shoes and can feel our pain and was tempted in every way. But Solomon says, I've tried everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've tried everything under the sun. And he could speak to wisdom over all these different things because he walked in all these situations. Mm. You know, he said, vanity, vanity. I've seen it. I've done it. Listen to me. And you could empathize with it. T.D. Jakes says, you know, I don't even trust a man that doesn't limp.
Mm. Yellow.
I don't even trust a man, because a man who doesn't limp hasn't been through nothing. If you ain't been through nothing, you haven't walked through nothing, and you can theorize that you're empathizing with somebody, but it's not until you've gone through something. You know, I used to say, get over it until I got under it and realized it's not that easy to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just go, you know what? You know, that you got to pause and just realize that you have not had everybody's experiences, and you have to begin to say, you know, I need to help. If I'm going to really love this person, I've got to listen to the point, like, God, give me your heart for this person. And when you're getting God's heart for this person, you're beginning to feel their pain and empathize with them. I mean, God's letting you feel what they're going through. And that's the point when you start seeing the power of God move, and that's when you start seeing miracles and signs and wonders, because God's in that. God's in that connection of carrying each other's burden, feeling that pain, and wanting something to be done with it. And if you want to see the fullness of the kingdom of God manifest in your life, seek it first. But once you're abiding and walking with the Lord, and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, begin to empathize. Practice empathy. Walk in empathy, which is love. You know, part of loving me is hearing me, and part of healing me is understanding and empathizing with me. But I love that. T.D. Jakes says, I don't even trust a man if he doesn't limp.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus was willing to come down on this earth and begin to limp. And the weakness of human flesh. And because of that, and he didn't sin, that he can sit at the right hand of the Father now and explain our limps.
Mm-hmm.
He can explain it.
Yeah.
He can explain it. And that's where the church, and when you begin to we begin to empathize with each other, and that's why the way that we do church, the way that we are the family of God, is important. If we don't take time to relate as the family of God, we're not going to have empathy. If you don't spend any time with your natural family, you're not going to have any empathy for your natural family. If you stay divided and everything you do is divided and you don't come together up under what God has said to do in your family, you know, empathy is going to be missing. And you may walk around as a teenager thinking, like, nobody's listening to me, nobody's doing this. But, hey, are you getting in there, being part of the family, and understanding that you got to begin to be authentic and transparent and talk about what you're going through so people can empathize? You know, give them a chance to reject you before you reject them and judge them and say they're not empathizing, because then you need to begin to tell them what's going on in your life. You know, and just begin the conversation. And sometimes I always joke around, you know, anything to start the conversation. I mean, if things are stuck, sometimes you just got to do anything. Yeah, I remember years ago and going through those kind of tensions that you go through in the early days of marriage, and you know, you're trying to communicate and all that kind of stuff. And you say, well, we got to talk about this. And so, because we weren't talking. Mm-hmm. I'd actually walk in the house, and I'd look at Donna and I'd go, I forgive you, which is not what you do, but it just kind of breaks the ice.
Right.
And all of a sudden, whatever mm-hmm. happens at that point, at least you're talking.
Right.
At least you're talking. I remember I was in a situation where there was a family that just hadn't talked in years. And the enemy just had them all bound up. And they weren't talking, and so the devil was talking for them, and it wasn't good what he was saying about each other. And the context of that, and for the very first time, they started talking. And it wasn't lovely talk. It was like, you, and they're all talking to each other, right? And all of a sudden, and I was just like, ooh, they're talking. This is wonderful. Even though it wasn't, you know.
Encouraging.
It wasn't godly.
It wasn't flowery.
It wasn't godly conversation.
All right.
And so all of a sudden, one of them says, this is not doing anything. We just need to stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, this is good. Finally, after 20 years, you're talking. Let's just keep it going. Eventually, you know, this well is going to
run
dry. Clean water is going to come out as well if you just keep letting it run. And sometimes you just got to let it out. And all of a sudden, you know, all the dirt and everything cleans out of the well and fresh water begins to flow.
That's good.
But if you just let all that dirt pack down and all that darkness and all those lies and judgments and all these different things, and if you don't open your mouth, if you don't communicate, you know, you're just bound. You're just totally bound. And everything comes through the spoken word. It comes through the spoken word, good and bad. And he said, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are spirit. And so if you want to be free, when Jesus asks you the question, what do you want from me? You're going to have to open your mouth. Oh, that I can see. Mm-hmm. I want to be free. I don't want to be bound. I want to be delivered. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered from rejection. I want to be whatever, you know, and then God begins to move. But if you aren't willing to do that, and sometimes if you haven't talked with your mouth for a long time, because your heart's been shouting, by the way, and God knows what's in our heart. I mean, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It might not come out too good. So you want to be around somebody you won't get infected when you start talking, that they understand that the stuff, that's a nice word, is coming out of your mouth at that moment. It's just stuff that kind of plugged your well. And then once that comes out, underneath that, pure water is going to begin to flow. Pure water is going to begin to flow. And a lot of people aren't willing to do the work it takes to get the well clean. And sometimes it means, you know, I got to confess my sin. And when we look at the revival that took place in 1907 in Pyongyang, North Korea, it began with confession. They confessed their sins one to another, like James chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And just beginning to begin to talk about the dirt that's in your life, talk about the things that's clogged you up, and God begins to just deliver you and forgive you and heal you on top of that, because you've confessed them. And that's what comes when you confess your sins to God, you're forgiven. But when you confess them to men, I mean, obviously the right man, then you're healed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The wrong man, it can be really bad.
You're hung. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but there's just something to that. So I just want to encourage you, begin to let conversation flow. And at the beginning of the conversation flows, you know it's not going to be good. You got to prepare them and say, listen, I know what I'm about to say is not right, but this has been in my heart for quite some time and I need to get it out. And as you begin to speak it out, then that's when you and everybody begins to say how ungodly what's been locked in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can realize that's sin, that's wrong, that's darkness. And you can say, God, forgive me for even thinking that way or believing these judgments or the lies of the enemy. And then you're free. But some people are just plugged up. You know what I'm saying? They're the, mm-hmm. they're the counterfeit crew that are walking around like everything's all right on the outside, but they're full of it, right? They're full mm-hmm. of things they should have gotten rid of. And it's real difficult, by the way, for you to live this life and walk it out because you're walking around with that plug inside of you. You can never fully be yourself and you can never fully flow because you got all that junk between the pure water and your reality. And that has to be dealt with at the cross, has to be dealt with by getting it out. And you got to unplug your well. You got to unplug your well because if the church will begin to speak the things of God, and speak what God says about you to you and to your family and to the church and people around you, people are going to be encouraged because God loves you and God has a plan for your life. But if what you have plugged down, blocking that out, is judgment toward that person and hatred towards that person and criticism towards that person, then the other thing's never going to get out. It's dammed up the flow of God's pure, encouraging, fruitful, life-giving word is damned. It's blocked. And God will free us up and bust those dams if we deal with them and confess our sins. You know, and confess the reality of what's plugging our wells. And it's amazing. Then we can begin to empathize and begin to walk this out. And we can have a lot of empathy because we can say, hey, that was me. You know, that's how I walked in that. And so I just want to encourage you, don't just say, hey, the world needs to empathize with me. Begin to be a doer of God's word and empathize with others. You'll be surprised. You become smaller and God becomes bigger and Jesus becomes glorified. And you find out, you know what? I wasn't necessarily that important in the whole equation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that he must increase and I must decrease. The more I focus on him and others, the more he takes care of me. Right?
That's good.
That's right.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. Well, you know, I feel that in my spirit that the earth is stirred.
Mm.
The earth is stirred. Prophecy is being rapidly fulfilled. If you didn't hear it this week, we talked about the four blood moons about to take place in April of 2014. And you're seeing things that are just unbelievably upside down.
Mm.
And when you look at what happened with Gideon, when God began to deliver a nation, everything became, the people that really ruled at that time were the Midianites. And every time Israel would begin to, you know, get a little something in their checking account, get their car going down the street, get a little corn or something, not corn, but get something growing in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The Midianites would come and they would just take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And Midian means strife. A spirit mm-hmm. of strife would come in and your marriage was going good. Your family was going good. Your business was going good. And all of a sudden immediately, the second it becomes good, strife comes in, begins to try to take it. And so it looks like, you know, God's people are defeated in this thing. You'll never get your head above water because every time you do, you know, your car breaks down or something happens to that nature. And so God looks at Gideon, who is eking out a living in this wine press, and he calls him to be able to release to him a specific vision, a revelation, a battle plan, how God was going to deliver the nation using Gideon and 300 men. And in that battle plan, when it was exercised and they all followed it and they did what God wanted them to do, once they did that, when you see how confused the enemy was, when they seen how confused the enemy was, that it was upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They turned on each other. They were doing crazy things. And so if you're part of that day, you could think, what's going on? I mean, why is everything upside down? Why is everything? Or you can understand the way God works. You're like, dude, God's about to bring a victory here. These people are acting foolish. Mm-hmm. This is just outright. They're destroying each other.
All right.
I mean, it is amazing how Nadal Hussein in Fort Hood is his own attorney representing himself, where he shot 13 people, murdered 13 soldiers, and attempted to murder 32 more in 2009 in Fort Hood, a fellow soldier. Here he was, like an officer in the military. I don't know what his rank was, but in the context of that, and he did it for jihad, and he did it.
He was a major.
Major, and he did it for jihad and for Muhammad, and he did it for radical Islam. But we called, and this was the beginning of a lot of things that took place in America as things begin to unfold, and they called this a workplace
violence.
Mm. And so now he's in the courtroom representing himself, and he's standing up. He is his own attorney. And forever they're calling it workplace. And so you had the prosecutors ready to prosecute a workplace shooting situation. So they present all their case and the crazy case. And this guy stands up and talks about it. He says, well, you're going to find out that I did this in the name of Allah. And for jihad, and you'll find out that I murdered 13 people. And I mean, he just said everything that we're not saying he did.
Wow.
He's saying, and he has letters in his cell from one of the leaders saying, good job, did a good job. This is great jihad, what you're doing. And he wants to be put to death, because if you die in the name of Allah and jihad, then you automatically make it to hell.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to him.
And so he thinks heaven.
Right.
But this is the upside down part. Our president calls it a workplace violence. We have prosecution set up saying it's workplace violence. And the very man that did it is saying, hello, I got the beard going on. I got letters in my cell. I said, he declared praise to Allah when he did it.
Yeah.
And then he started shooting in the muster room, in the meeting room. He killed your sons and daughters, our sons and our daughters, and nobody's. And then we called it workplace violence. By calling it workplace violence and not terror, all the ones, families who's lost loved ones and ones that got injured do not get the benefits those that was in terror. So now we pull back all benefits from them.
Wow.
While we're giving benefits to, I'm not even going to talk about that. And this guy standing up going, no, I am a terrorist.
Right.
I am a jihadist. That's why I did it.
Wow.
And it's like, you can either go get some duct tape. My head's about to blow up.
Mm.
You could just scream. You could get, call your legislators and go, what is your problem? Or you could look at the ways of God and go, God's about to take this nation back. They turn it on themselves.
Yeah.
This is stupid. I mean, this is outright ignorant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's so much of it. It's just like you look at some of the leaders in regards to in Congress, and you think, oh, did you really say that? I remember that from the fifth grade, I think. I remember that. I think I remember the fifth grade. I remember somebody saying what you just said.
All right.
You know, it's like, and you can get upset and think, well, I don't know what we're going to do here. You can go, God's about to deliver this nation.
That's right.
Because what's happening at this moment, those that are following darkness and the Midianite mindset, and the thing, they're turning in on themselves. And don't be yelling at the darkness as a believer. Just sit back and begin to just blow your horn and break your pitchers and shine the light of God, the gospel, and watch God defeat the enemy and get ready when God begins to bring down the enemy by its turning on itself, the enemy of God and the enemy of our nation. Just get ready to possess the land. You know, get ready to help them enter in to a place of forgiveness and restoration, or, you know, the family of God, because it's all going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? The rapidness of what's taking place right now is amazing. Here we're looking for ways to pay benefits to same-sex couples and trying to figure out how to get the benefits to them. At the same time, we're denying benefits of victims of terrorists at Fort Hood at the very same moment. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to give benefits to same-sex couples, that's what you're going to do. Okay. But don't deny the benefits over here to these ones who just got their loved ones blown away and the baby killed in her womb and she was killed and family law. I mean, we should just like, oh, what are we doing?
Wow. Mm.
What are we doing in the context? Why would we want to deny them any? You know, like, my goodness, what is happening to us?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening to us? This is God's news behind the news. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you make a decision without your spouse's input, it might be a recipe for conflict. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and wife and mom Mary Byers tells us how to avoid this predicament.
We have a policy at our house where neither of us accepts an invitation without first checking with the other person. Neither of us volunteers the other person without approval first. So I think policies are a really good way to be able to say no. Some of the policies I've heard people say, we don't answer the phone during dinner time. That's a way to create a boundary around the family. We don't buy anything with that's over $100 without first talking to each other. So policies actually can simplify some of your yesing and some of your knowing.
Some great advice there. And our family has benefited from having policies in place that we've agreed about. And you can find additional insights to help your family thrive when you stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the daily radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about how things appear to be upside down. Know this, that when you look at the things, when God begins to do something, because when he does things, he does it in a way where he gets the glory. In other words, he always does it, but if he does it in a way that it's obvious, then his people will give him the glory and realize this is our God that loves us enough to forgive us, to restore us, and to deliver us. When you look at all the things that happened with George Washington, and we've talked about that before, you can go back to original intent and hear some of those awesome things, how the wind changed, how fog came in, how the boats couldn't come in because of a storm of the British soldiers and these different things that were going on. I mean, God's involved in the affairs of men. But right now, God's involved in the affairs of America. And it's all, I mean, if it's not comical to you, if you're losing your business, you're losing your job, and you're fearful of death. But if you're not fearful of death and you trust God in it, that God's plans are going to work out in it, whatever it is, then you got to look back and go, this is one continual stand-up routine. And the sad thing about it is very few people know it's comedy.
Right.
They take it seriously. It's like, come on. You know, you ask the guy a plain question, plain as day on the committee. You said, are you looking at America's information? Are you looking at the data that you're collecting with the NSA, right? And so you got grown folks asking the question that we elected to go there. And so this is their answer. Well, I don't have the authority to do that. Any parent that heard a child say that is like, I didn't ask you about no authority. Answer is yes or no.
Yes or no.
Are you looking at it or not? And then they went on to the next question. And you're thinking like, okay. All right. Wow. Yeah. Broom, boom. Right? Broom, boom. The drum that got to the joke.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, did anybody in the world notice what this teenager just said? They said that they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's so obvious. Or a statement like, what does it matter anyway? We have dead soldiers on our, you know, the ambassador is dead. It's like, well, it kind of matters if you were involved in the process and you're the one knocking off our ambassadors.
Exactly.
Or you know about it and you're polygraphing, you know, everybody's children that works at the government every 5 seconds to see if they're telling about what they know. It's kind of like, what do you know? Mm. You know, what do you know in the context of that? So, you know, you could go, you could be, you know, fearful, concerned. You can go like, whoa, this thing's coming to a conclusion. You know, America as we know it, the church as we know it, it's not over. It's just coming to a conclusion, and we're about to enter into a new season. There's a transitional thing that's going to be taking place, and God's establishing. He's establishing, I guess you would call them, hubs, apostolic centers. He's establishing outposts, spiritual outposts, not military outposts, of God's people throughout the land. And Chuck Pierce talks about, he and Dutch Sheets, I believe, went to all 50 states. And they prayed and they just asked God, you know, what's happening in this state? What's happening in that state? Just thank God that God looks at states individually.
Yes.
You know, I'd hate to be responsible for our stuff and California stuff.
And New York's. Oh, yeah, right. He ain't my man.
Right. You know, and so God gave them an extended vision over revelation over America and over each of the states. And one thing that God showed him was there was going to be these outposts established in America. And apostolic hubs, you know, that were God's government, the fulfillment of what, you know, it's gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to be able to do his work here on earth. And only 21 states out of 50, Some politicians say 53, some
57.
57. I can understand that.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to us, I'm sure we have a few of those things. We're like, can y'all edit out the 60 state comment? Anyway, so it's hard to think and move your mouth at the same time. But only 21 out of 50 states, this is what God revealed to him, and he wrote about it, you know, in his book, and I don't have it with me right now. I can tell you more tomorrow.
Releasing the prophetic destiny of a nation. Is that you're talking about Chuck Pierce and the Cheats?
Well, that was they wrote about their that was their prayer journey over the 50 states. Yeah, but anyway, revelation was it's going to be 21 states that align with God, which means more than half of the states do not align with God.
Right.
Of course, your immediate response is okay. Which one won't? I'm moving. You know,
where am I not going?
I'm ready to move. You know, it doesn't matter to me. And then these apostolic hubs, these hubs that God's established, and these spiritually kingdom of God minded governmental hubs will do battle for the original intent, the founding God's original intent over this nation. You know, whether it's a success or not, that is the direction that it seems prophetically that's taken place, which means not battle like a jihadist. I mean, it's you know, when somebody in Islam, radical Islam, says battle, they're talking about a sword, a bomb, an EID.
And your head.
They're talking about, you know, wrapping a bomb around themselves or you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And pulling out a sword, a physical metal sword. Mm-hmm. When a Christian who's not deceived talks about spiritual battle, they're talking about pulling out the word of God. That's the sword of the spirit, and begin to speak out the power, the powerful anointed word of God. And that begins to do warfare against the very thing that we wrestled against, which is spiritual wickedness. Not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. So the context is, you know, those who walk with God understand it's not a flesh battle. It's a spiritual battle. Those who don't walk with God, but walk with religions, they mm-hmm. believe it's a physical battle, and you need some fleshly government type thing going on. You got to hurt people's flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a day that the church actually went through a season, the Dark Ages, where they were actually doing a few things like that. And so, in these 21 states, and there will be cities that have these hubs in it. And what we're so excited, and one of the key hub states, and if you know anything about, if you're following anything that's happening in America, it's not a shocker. That there's going to be definitely one hub state, one apostolic original intent, founding father, God's purpose, you know, for this nation. And it's the Lone Star State.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The Lone Star State, Texas. And it'll be one of the key factors, you know, prophesied by Chuck Pierce in this, that would help battle for the original intent of America, which is pretty cool because when you think about it, you start thinking about, does anybody even remember the original tent? And mm-hmm. if you do remember it, do you like the idea of being who we used to be? And we've come so far over the last 100 years, it's kind of hard to find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we can find ourselves if we go back and begin to that's why we talk about the original tent on VFN Radio and look at our Constitution. You know, people are wanting to do away with our Constitution, but understand this, the Bill of Civil Rights, you know, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution enables you to walk freely and just so many things. It'd just be a different world without that. It'd be like Egypt is right now, you know, without the Constitution. It'd be like Turkey, where they're beginning to lose their constitutional viewpoint. And those that defended it, they're locking them up. And what I'm excited about is that prior to even hearing the word that God shared with Chuck Pierce, God had already shared that with me about a hub, and we've been walking out for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN hub, and you have VFN radio, VFN hub, and all the things that are going on. And we're excited about, and be talking more about in the future, about the VFN Dream Center going to be established in Pensacola, Florida, in the Emerald Coast. Because God specifically said, that's where I want it.
That's right. Mm.
That's where I want it. And it was exciting because we were actually headed towards Texas to establish the VFN hub. at the VFN Dream Center and it's already set up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the hub state. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Hello. You go to Texas and it's like everybody drives good there because you don't know somebody else might. Everybody's got a gun.
That's right.
You know? You cut somebody off, you just kind of pause for a moment, pull over, and just say, okay, good. It's very little crime was up there in the northern parts. It was a lot in the cities. But that God specifically said, you know, Pensacola, Escambia County, actually, Panhandle. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing. And so I want to encourage you and begin to listen intently to VFN TV, watch VFN TV and listen to VFN radio, because we're going to begin to unfold some things. I mean, God's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Things are in chaos right now, and leadership in the world is just in some quagmire. But it's that way because God's people, the church leadership, is not wanting to move into what God is doing in his form of leadership for this next season. But guess what? It's beginning to happen. It's beginning to happen. And it's going to be apostolic hubs, outposts that are established, that are networking and rightly relating to other apostolic hubs that are replacing, that are potential replacements for what we were used to in the previous season of the church. Now, listen, God is doing everything, and everything God has done is good. And if it wasn't for what God did, what he's doing wouldn't be here, because that generation carried the torch to this generation. But when he begins to do a new thing, we have to be willing to let go of what was by honoring it, because it's God, and dedicating ourselves fully to what God is doing and going to do, so he can bring to this next generation his love, his kindness, his kingdom, and his hope and his deliverance. God is doing a new thing, and it's going to be awesome.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
They were down
there. They were down there, right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles. That you have to say, you know what, I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's just challenging this, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here. He squeaks when he walks now. You know, he's like running in place when we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. It's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really loud.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but they are.
How does that work? We eat less.
I know it. You know? And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats. But come on. It's a lot. He eats way more.
But if you add it all up, it's, you know. That's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere I'm lost.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat at salad bars. Have you seen a salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I work things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore
everything's okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past, and ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating, because sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. And we don't realize how many calories are in like cheese or something, or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very calories. Oh, they're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you. Don't worry about it. Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, I don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. You point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
You scan yourself. It's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So the, but, you know, I remember this app, you know, years ago when it was first getting started. It had an abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And it, how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great, because that's the big thing, is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
So I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie, I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it, but we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. John, I'm telling you what, and this street preacher that they confiscated his Bible. What is this thing? He's confiscated his Bible and his amplifier. Was that in America?
This is in America, St. Louis.
No. In America with the Constitution, with the First Amendment?
Yes, with the Constitution, First Amendment, Bill of Rights.
It wasn't one of these crazy people who were hating on soldiers and stuff.
They call themselves Christians
and they're mean and hateful and all that.
Yeah, those are not Christians. I don't know. Jesus wouldn't
don't
do
tell
that.
Them that. Yeah. Isn't that terrible? It's like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, it's horrible. It's the devil, man.
Yeah, I'm glad that this community stomped that out.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we shared them on VFN Radio, but they didn't get no access to that.
Yeah, those guys came down. As a matter of fact, you probably have a related article right here. If you listen to this on the Torch, you can see it. About how one of our brave soldiers had lost his life, given his life for us. And this is not what I'm about to talk about, but the Americans and got around, and just soldiers and police officers and everybody, and just blocked out those people, and you didn't even know they existed.
it was a wall of love. It was just completely all the way around. It was beautiful, really. I mean, it pulled me off the interstate. I had to see what was going on.
All right.
Wow, wow.
It was that great. Well, this pastor, actually, he's a St. Louis pastor, and he says he's called to preach the good news in the city streets. They actually took away his Bible. Yeah, listen to this, because he'd been reports on this. Took away his Bible and his amplifier and said he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't do it anymore.
Who's they?
Well, I believe it's a city, but the police is the one who's being interviewed. And they said that people were complaining because it was too loud. And so the pastor's saying, listen, I know that we can do it no higher than 75 decibels. I mean, he even had the decibels down. Wow. I mean, they knew their stuff.
We need to work on decibels.
I know it. I know it. But he knew he was within the parameter, but they cave into some sort of pressure. Why don't you listen to CBN as they share a little bit about it.
Group. A St. Louis pastor says he's called to preach the good news, not just in his church, but also on the streets of his city. And Aaron Brummett says he won't be silenced, despite the fact that police confiscated his Bible and amplifier. The city says they are simply responding to complaints.
Yes, we filed the charges, but there are citizens who are claiming that he's disturbing their peace. So it doesn't matter what he's saying. The issue is how loud it's being said.
And that we can do it at no higher than 75 decibels, which we followed from the beginning, so we've never broken any laws. And we're not using the city's power to conduct our event. We're not blocking traffic. So we're following what the city has asked us to follow.
Brummett has been ticketed 9 times and, according to an Associated Press report, still has not gotten his Bible and equipment back.
Now, how crazy is that? We were just talking not too long ago on Stand in the Gap, where they let all kind of just crazy things, people walking around nude, you know, and then even stop people walking around nude and indecent.
I told John to get his clothes on.
Yeah, I tried.
Please.
You
Lord, help me.
And yet someone who's sharing the good news, you know, the gospel.
Actually, it was patting his convertible.
Oh, we heard about that convertible. Yeah, one day you can tell us about that.
What convertible?
Do you want us to go there? Do you...
Like, all that moose, it didn't move. It just kind of
stayed there. Stayed,
but the mullet in the back kind of flapped around a little bit, trying to get loose, get out the boat.
Okay, so back to street preaching.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. But this is important because we have, you know, our rights. My goodness, you know, you have the freedom of speech.
Well, the First Amendment right. Let me read it right here. First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is a constitution is what you're made up of. It's what they say that they wanted someone to change, and it's like, if you change that, then who are we? This is what. And the First Amendment says the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, you can make, and Congress is about lawmaking bodies. Mm-hmm. You can't make any law saying you can't do this or abridging the freedom of speech. And that's what this guy is doing, right? Religion, freedom of speech, exercising his right, or of the press. So even your local newspaper, radio, whatever reporter has that same privilege that he has to be able to do that, or the right of people to peacefully assemble. If he's peacefully doing, I'm not blocking traffic, I'm moving at, I'm speaking at 75 decibels, and to petition the government for redressing the grievances. And so it's written in the Constitution. It's his constitutional, it's his Bill of Civil Rights in the Constitution.
They took his Bible. They took his Bible. Think about that. You walking in your street, you know, and someone's coming and say, let me have that Bible. Let me have your Bible.
Right.
And, you know,
which is the Fourth Amendment, where he says the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Civil Rights is the right of people to be secure in their person, their houses, their papers, their effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person and things to be seized. You can't just walk up and take people's stuff, especially when you're not breaking any laws.
And you're not hurting anybody.
First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment is being violated. And think about it. Imagine if there was no Constitution, then you would just go, oh, well.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, that's well, and you'd be the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or pay the price and be put in prison and everything else. This is what happens all across the world at different, you know, oppressive countries and leaders that they don't have a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking, you know, off air about Cuba, but in Cuba they just got the internet. They allow their citizens to have the internet. And they
is it dial-up or
I don't know what it is. They're all in this kind of
two
room.
Two cans and a string?
In a like internet cafe, and they're paying. They have to pay to use it. The government provides it. They have to pay to use it.
So it's the government's internet.
It's the government's internet.
They're not like the NSA. They're not probably thinking, tracking anything, are they?
They have everything on lockdown in Cuba. But they're making this. They make them sign this paper saying, you're not going to use this against our country, okay? Anyway, they pay $4 to use this an hour. When
$4 an hour? That's economy down there. They don't have a lot of...
They get paid $20 a month. A month.
Can you imagine the pressure in that 1 hour? We got to knock some things out in this 1 hour.
Tell me about it. You just take so many things for granted living in America, and this is just another example. That's why we're sharing it. Not too long ago, we talked about a pastor who was told he couldn't get together and share on a service on a public beach, and it was hundreds that showed up to support, and they had a huge event, mm-hmm. and it went off successfully. But you have to know your constitution. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And guess what? Nothing happened.
I encourage you that you need to get you a pocket copy of the U.S. Constitution. And maybe if you have a digital device, a digital download version of it. It's a little small. You can get a little small one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the VFN Torch today, VFNTV.com, and click on the torch. And you can see a link there to be able to get you a pocket copy. And probably it'll take you right to Amazon.com or whatever. And you can just keep it. And just when you get spare time, just kind of look over and read. It's amazing when you read the Constitution. The preamble of the Constitution itself says, the very first thing it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, which is right up front letting you know, we're not talking about perfection here, just a more perfect one,
mm-hmm.
to establish justice. And that was not just what happened to that man. Ensure domestic tranquility. I mean, you think about that. Mm. Fatherhood, a workplace violence, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for a common defense. Hey, let's just partner up with the Muslim Brotherhood. That will help us out.
Sure.
Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings. Think about that. Capital B, blessings. Blessings, mm-hmm. and capital L. Blessings of liberty to ourselves and our people that come after us, our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. I mean, why would we want to mess that up? Why in the world would we want to mess that up? And then the rest of the Constitution begins to describe this very thing that you watch on C-SPAN, government, and how it should look, how it should act, what its limits are, what it can do, what it can't do, how you can replace them, how you can take them out. I'm talking about executive, legislator, judiciary branch, all of it. That it's a government by the people and for the people, as spoken about in the Declaration of the Independence. And that's what we should really, you know, get back to that. And I encourage you, because if and obviously this man was educated on, he took the time to find out, to operate within the context of the Constitution and the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading this morning, and Jesus tells us, he says, listen, those in darkness hate the light, and they don't want anything to do with it. And so you're never, ever going to be able to share the light of God's truth. You can do the best that you could possibly be at sharing it. And that people who want to be in darkness, they're never going to be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always going to be a conflict between those who are in darkness and don't want light shine on them, because then it exposes what they're consciously, you know, going and doing and giving themselves over to, not necessarily, you know, a sin, but just, mm-hmm. this is who they are. And he says, they will have an adversarial attitude towards the light because they're in darkness and they don't want their life to be opened. But those who walk in the light, they're drawn to it. And I think one of the biggest issues that we fall into in America is political correctness, because the church can't be politically correct. First of all, the word politics means compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't call us to compromise. He just called us to join him and speak his word. So there's no compromise involved in that. Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't mean you can't have a political government, but the church is not supposed to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't, we just, it is what it is, which means you're not going to be able to change what God is saying to make someone happy, but you need, we need to do our best at presenting it in a way that's conducive for them to be able to hear it. In one way is what we talked about early, to learn to walk in empathy towards people, listen to them, empathize with them, and then share the truth versus standing on a street corner and yelling at someone and not connecting with them, you know, and prophet, God can call prophets to do that, especially as close as we are to probably what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I could see God calling basically men and women to street corners to begin to just prepare the way for what's about to take place. So I wouldn't be surprised. And God calls some prophets just to be unpopular. That's what their call is, like unpopular prophet. And pretty much, if you look, they stoned them and killed the prophets. So most every one of them was considered unpopular.
I don't think Ezekiel had a big following at all.
No, mm-hmm. I think Jeremiah had three converts.
Okay.
Three converts in the context of that. But obviously, it was very important because he was preparing the way. He came in and was called by God towards the end of Josiah's reign. And he walked God's people prophetically into Babylonian captivity. I mean, he didn't walk them in, but he explained, okay, this is what prophecy is.
Right.
You know, repent, repent, repent. No, no, no. And they were all just, at that day, it was popular to walk in darkness, to walk against God, and everybody was for it.
Mm.
That's what it was like. It was like that when they went into Babylonian captivity, which kind of describes how it is today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unpopular to say what God says. And it's actually more popular. I'm talking about the church now. The people call themselves the church. To talk about a diversion from God's word in kind of adjusted word, an appendix to his word. And you'll have more followings when you do things like there is no hell.
Right.
Right? So that's a big following. Or the secret, you know, and all these other kind of things. They've got to change in everything. The blood is not really going to be... And you think about it, it has a big following. And this is what it looks like right before you go into Babylonian captivity. There'll be more people saying, our wrong is right. This is something, you know, God's different. God has changed. That was the old. Listen, that's written a long time ago. Things have changed. And what is ahead of a people who don't listen to what God is saying through the prophets, like Jeremiah is, they're going to walk right into captivity. Right into captivity, and all their leaders that are all haughty and think they know everything. Well, this is what happened to Zedekiah, the king. He had to stand there and watch his sons, the leaders, his leadership, his cabinet, he had to watch them all murdered in front of him.
Mm.
And then they took and burned his eyes out. The last thing he saw was his sons being destroyed in front of him, and they took him into captivity. Mm. And then this is God's people now. And then God's people went in captivity for 70 years, I believe it was. And so, let's just turn.
Yeah.
And not burn. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.